Support for this podcast comes from Harvr, the industry-leading hiring solution, helping organizations optimize their talent decisions. Rooted in over 35 years of rich data insights, backed by IO psychology and cognitive science, Harvr delivers a suite of automated solutions that enable organizations to engage, hire, and develop the right talent in a fast and fundamentally less biased way. Visit harvr.com to learn how you can take the smart path to the right talent.
There's been more of scientific discovery, more of technical advancement and material progress in your lifetime and mine than in all the ages of history.
Hi there. Welcome to episode 597 of Recruiting Future with me, Matt Alder. I was delighted to hear that two of my regular guests on Recruiting Future were writing a book together. Talent Acquisition Excellence by Kevin Wheeler and Bas van der Hatred is now available wherever you get your books. And it's brilliant to welcome both of them back to the podcast to talk about it. Kevin is the founder of the Future of Talent Institute and is highly respected for his skills in predicting how talent acquisition and HR will develop and evolve. Bas is a consultant whose keen sense of curiosity has helped him map the evolution of assessment technology and deliver an annual State of the Nation report on corporate career sites. In our conversations, they bring different perspectives to the concept of talent acquisition excellence, offer some actionable advice, and give us a sense of what the future might hold. Hi, Kevin, and welcome back to the podcast.
Great to be here as always, Matt.
It's an absolute pleasure to have you back on the show. Could you just introduce yourself and tell everyone what you do for people who may not have come across your work before?
Sure. I run an organization called the Future of Talent Institute. And basically, we're a think tank that tries to look a couple of years, 2 to 3 years into the future, look at the trends and try to make sense of those trends for the talent community in general. So that's what I've been doing for the last 20 years or something. It's forecasting in a way, but it's really compiling all the various trends that are out there. And then just as I said before, try to make sense out of them. What does this mean for us in recruiting? Where are things going? And what's it potentially going to look like in 3 years from now, let's say, in our profession? So that's kind of what I do.
Fantastic stuff. Now, your co-authored book has just come out. Tell us a little bit about the book and why you wrote it.
Sure. It's called Talent Acquisition Excellence, and the subtitle kind of sums it up in a way. It's called Using Digital Capabilities and Analytics to Improve Recruitment. And, you know, I think the primary driver in writing this book was that AI and analytics are core to the future of recruitment and probably the core to the future of almost every function in the corporate world. So I think it was just really important to highlight some of the trends that are happening and then how technology and analytics is playing out in that space. So that's really the motivation behind the book.
As you say, you've been looking into the future of people, HR, talent acquisition for a really long time now. And we've been through a number of different technology revolutions and kind of shifts and changes to the way that things work over that period of time. How does this compare to, you know, for example, the introduction of the internet or the introduction of mobile or social media into recruiting? What's different this time in terms of where we are right now?
Well, this, I think for sure, is a much bigger and much more powerful and impactful invention, you could say, than anything that you just mentioned. It comes close to the internet, but it may actually be even more important than the internet. You know, I think that, you know, we've struggled for 30 or 40 years or more to try to create an artificial intelligence that was truly intelligent and that could really offer solutions to things. And we've come very close to being able to do that now. So, I mean, I think that people like Reid Hoffman, who's the founder of LinkedIn, and other luminaries are are equally convinced that this is a fundamental technology, probably more akin to electricity or the wheel, that's going to completely change how we do everything. So it's a big deal, a very, very big deal.
What does talent acquisition excellence look like, bearing in mind we have this huge technology revolution going on?
Yeah, well, I think it'll be an evolution, probably not a revolution, as some of us might hope, but it will be evolving pretty quickly. And I think one of the things that people don't quite comprehend or take into consideration is the speed that things happen. The internet took 20 years to become universally adopted and used. This was going to take, probably has already taken, less than a year. So what does it mean for recruiting? It means that more and more functions that recruiters used to do and take pride in and have skill in doing are going to become at least heavily augmented, if not completely automated, by technology. And so take, for example, sourcing candidates. I think more and more the technology is already being used to find people, and not only find them, but to do a quick assessment of their general capabilities to fill a particular role. It can even engage them and reach out to engage them. So, you know, the role of a sourcer over the next few years is going to become much less critical. It's going to be many fewer people doing that. And I think that the sourcing that remains will be for those extremely hard to find positions, the positions that really for people that are not, that do not have an internet presence and so forth. And it will start with a volume recruitment. So again, you know, with the routine jobs, the jobs that are probably 80% of all the jobs out there, we can already find, engage, and even hire the people with very little human interaction. I think it's going to be able to do assessment and screening in real time, combining you know, your whatever you've put in your CV along with your LinkedIn profile, any other information that's on the internet about you. It can compile all that and derive from that what your skills are. It can probably find skills that you haven't even indicated that you have. For example, you might speak a language that you've never put on any of your documentation, but it will figure out that you're probably going to be able to speak this language. So it'll be able to do assessment. Now, I'm not saying that assessment will be so we automatically hire you, but it will give a recruiter or a hiring manager an incredibly good picture of who you are and what you can do. It will engage you. It will engage candidates and conduct conversations with them. Tools are already out there that do this quite effectively, and they're just going to get better and better. And all of these things I mentioned are going to get better exponentially, not in a linear way, but you know, they're going to make incredible strides overnight. And that's what's so challenging about it, frightening about it, and exciting about what's going on. So administratively, it will be able to do all the typical routine data entry, report generation, all of these things. So, I mean, when you look at the recruiting function and the steps in the function, I say somewhere around 75 to 80% of it will be heavily augmented or automated within the next 2 to 3 years.
If that's the case, and I completely agree with you in terms of the speed of change, and I think people really underestimate just how much can be automated and probably be made more effective than it is now. So with that being the case, what does the TA team of 3 or 4 years' time look like? What does the function look like? What are what are people's jobs, if indeed there are any jobs for humans?
Yeah, well, we dedicate a whole chapter in the book to this topic, and I think probably our chapter will be out of date very quickly as well. But to be quite honest with you, it's going to be a very different function. I think the primary role of a recruiting function over the next few years will be marketing and branding to attract the right people to your organization and to be discovered by the various tools that exist out there. I think right now the marketing and branding that most functions do for recruiting is truly elementary. It's not even 101 level in most cases. So, I mean, I think this is a role that recruiters are going to play a big part in, and I think much better role than AI will be able to play. So they may be assisted by AI, but I really think the creativity, the innovation, the ideas, the context is going to come from the recruiters and in the organization. So marketing is a big one. I think the second big thing for the recruiting function is to look at the make versus buy discussion around talent. How do we encourage and develop internal talent? How do we partner with the learning and development function to develop more people to fit these roles? Yeah, we know that there's a tremendous shortage of talent. It's driven partly by demographics, partly by the attitude towards work, partly by the lack of education or the right education. So we know that it's going to get more and more difficult to find the right people to fill most of the jobs we have. And therefore, for smart organizations, we'll start to develop the ones they have, which will encourage people to stay, will give them more loyalty, and will give them the skills the organization needs to achieve its goals. So one of the roles may be for more of TA to morph more into learning and development or to merge more with the learning and development function and really foster true internal mobility, which is today mostly talk and not much action and very minimal amount that goes on in most organizations. We still very focus on external recruiting. I think the other role for TA in the future will be the conversation and relationship building with both candidates and hiring managers. You know, AI can do a certain level of engagement, certainly the early stages, but when I get right down to, you know, talking to you, Matt, and saying, what will it take, Matt, to get you to take this job? You know, what's the one thing that's going to make you say no to this job? That's where a human is going to have to play that part. They're going to have to understand the psychology of the candidate. They're going to have to talk to a hiring manager and say, why won't you hire this person? What's the one thing that's holding you back from making an offer to this candidate? You know, how can you influence hiring managers? How do you influence candidates, overcome objections? So these are going to be the key things for the recruiting organization of the future to focus on. You know, marketing, internal development, and the relationship building with both candidates and hiring managers. I think those are the key strengths.
I talked to a lot of TA leaders and a lot of TA teams, and there's kind of a real spread of opinion and reactions to what's going on. And, you know, at one extreme, people are running at a million miles an hour because they think there might not be any recruiters next year. At the other end of the extreme, people don't think anything's going to change. But in the middle, where most people are, there is a bit of a sense of, well, let's kind of wait and see what happens. Let's wait and see what other people do. Do you think employers and TA is moving quick enough in this kind of current environment? And what are the implications of not moving quick enough?
Well, no, they're not moving quick enough. Most of them absolutely are not. I mean, we've got the old, this is a common theme throughout history. There's nothing new about this. Whether it was the automobile, people resisted it strongly. Some people, early adopters, loved it and started driving, you know, really crappy early cars. And other people said, no, the horse will never go away, right? And it will always have the horse. And other people said, well, yeah, the car is coming, but it's going to be years before it gets here, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So I think this is a common theme throughout history. And it's no different for us in recruiting. Some people are going to adopt the technology quickly and leverage it and use it, and others will be very slow. But those who get on the bandwagon first, those who do it more quickly, those who understand it's a long-term potential, they're going to be the ones who win in the end. They're going to hire the better talent. They're going to have a more efficient and sustainable recruiting function that's got respect and budget to do what it needs to do. And I think over time, you'll find the ones that don't adopt technology and don't adapt will, they'll fade away or be replaced by other things. So, I mean, to me, it's an imperative. You know, we don't, the automobile had 30 or 40 or 50 years, you know, the internet had 20 years. We don't have that kind of time with this. So the technology is advancing so quickly that I think CEOs are going to say, why aren't we doing this? You know, why aren't we doing something? What's going on here? Why? How come company X is doing this and you're not? So I think it's absolutely critical that we move with great speed and experiment broadly, even though many of the tools aren't quite there yet. We still need to start experimenting and using them.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I think that in the past, there's always been the opportunity to course correct as technology embeds in, but this is moving so quickly that that opportunity just isn't there. As a final question for you, and in some ways, this is a more difficult question than asking you what's going to happen in 10 years' time. How much change do you think we'll see this year? Where might we be by this time next year?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And you know, unfortunately, we're not going to be where I would hope we would be, I don't think. I think some of the more progressive talent leaders and companies will start to really use the technology that's coming. I mean, one of the interesting things that's going on is the technology is moving faster than some of the people are in adopting it. So I look at some of the tools that are coming today, the sourcing tools and so forth, they're already morphing into offering far more than just sourcing. And they know they have to do that to survive. So I think that the companies that are really using and leveraging the technology out there, companies buying, you know, the more current, up-to-date sourcing tools that are really looking at the ATSs and what they're starting, how they're morphing, how they're changing, that are beginning to look and experiment with using, you know, ChatGTP to rewrite job descriptions and so forth. That's happening already. And I think that's probably one of the areas that's most commonly being used right now is to use ChatGTP or other tools. And there's a number of companies offering tools that can assess your current job descriptions, improve them, remove bias from them, help you to make better decisions about where to post your jobs and how to advertise your jobs. The chatbots are improving on the career sites. So the companies that are at the forefront of this are leveraging everything I just said. They're using these chatbots. They're building better career sites. They're posting using AI to help build better job descriptions. They're also starting to use more tools for assessment. And even if they're only at the screening stage, they're at least starting to be able to screen CVs and filter and rank CVs more effectively than they have in the past. So I think things are coming. They're moving more slowly than I would hope they would. And it's probably less than 10% of the companies that are actually using these tools well. But I think it's going to move very quickly in the next year. This year is kind of an introductory year. I've dubbed this the first year of a decade of change. And I think, we're just in the beginning of this. I think we're not going to see real significant, noticeable changes for probably 3 to 4 years.
So finally, tell us where people in the US can get the book. And also, you write an absolutely excellent newsletter. So tell people how they can subscribe to that.
Well, the book is generally available anywhere you would likely buy a book. It's available both as a paperback and as an ebook. As far as my newsletter goes, it's fotnews.futureoftalent.org. So if you just do that, fotnews.futureoftalent.org, you will come to the subscription page. It's free subscription if you want. It's also paid. Every other week, every other post is paid and the other one is free. So there's something for both the paid and the free subscribers. I've been doing this newsletter for 5 or 6 years now, and we've got a large number of subscribers. So really encourage everybody to read it and comment. Give me feedback on it.
Kevin, thank you very much for talking to me.
It's been great, Matt, as always. Thanks.
A quick message from our sponsor, Wonolo. Hi, everyone. I want to tell you about Wonolo. That's Wonolo. Wonolo stands for Work Now Locally. Wonolo enables businesses to find quality workers for on-demand, seasonal, short-term, and long-term work. Ditch the bulky paperwork and interview process and use Wonolo to find quality workers fast and get work done even faster. With flexible workers and no platform fees, you can save on operating costs, meet demand and maximise earnings with ease. Wonolo is available in over 100 markets, including Chicago, Dallas, Atlanta, New York and Seattle. Get workers who are ready to work and spend less time finding them with Wonolo. Go to www.wonolo.com/pod. That's www.wonolo.com/pod and take the stress out of finding workers.
The Jim Stroud Podcast explores the discoveries and trends forming the future of our lives. Brain-to-brain communication, robot bosses, microchip implants for workers, and artificial intelligence replacing human workers are all happening now. If you want to know what's happening next, subscribe now to the Jim Stroud Podcast.
Hi, Bass, and welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure to have you on the show. But for those who may have not heard one of your episodes before, please could you introduce yourself and tell us what you do?
Well, my name is Bas van der Hatert. I'm a Dutchman. I consult with some larger organizations mainly on either improving their careers website or improving their selection process. I host a major Dutch event called Digitaal Werven. I speak on a lot of international conferences, and I just published my sixth book, actually, already, but the first one all in English.
Well, congratulations on the book. I know from experience how difficult they are to write. Tell us a little bit about this latest book. What's it about, and why did you write it?
Well, it's called TA Excellence, of Talent Acquisition Excellence, and it's basically about how you're going to structure TA in a world which is filled with AI, but also the entire changing world of work, hybrid, remote, global workspace falling apart in some pieces of the world, and how is that going to changing labor markets, changing labor market or desires from people. And we tried to look at what's happening, plot models on that, and especially show people that there's no one way to do recruiting right. There are several ways to do it right, but there are even more ways to do it wrong.
Just want to ask you a question, sort of based on your experience working with, you know, all the companies that you work with and the conversations that you have with TA leaders. We talk a lot about why this is a significant time, why things are changing. You sort of really sort of laid out some of the reasons there, and it really does feel like this real inflection point in talent acquisition. The talent acquisition leaders that you speak to, do they share that opinion? Are they having issues that need to be solved? Can they be tracked to some of the changes that you're talking about?
Definitely. Well, some of them do, some of them don't. Let me be very clear. I mean, like in every profession, you've got the people who are actually more leaders, and you've got people who are more the managers, making sure the store is open, but not really changing anything. Those who see the changes are looking at, for example, I had one client who completely revamped his entire talent acquisition strategy, was looking at how can technology support us on every part of the candidate journey, because he realized, first of all, it was getting harder and harder to get quality recruiters, but also he saw on the one hand for many jobs, because it was a really, they had a strong employer brand, so it was an employer who still got a lot of applications, and on some they were just ballooning, and on others it was impossible to find somebody. So he basically said, we need to change everything we do, or at least we need to question everything we do. The fact that we've been doing this for 25 years doesn't mean it's the right thing to keep doing.
Again, that's interesting, I think, because you're illustrating there a mindset shift that we're all seeing the people who are kind of leading and really kind of leaning into this change making. How do people go about that? What is that kind of mindset shift that you think people need to take right now if they're going to achieve talent acquisition excellence in the future?
Well, in his case, I don't think it was a mindset shift. The interesting thing is he came from outside of TA, and he was looking at processes, and he's like, that's just weird. You know, it's He came from the business itself, and he became the head of talent acquisition. He now left the organization, or at least he went back into the business again. You know, he left the TA part of the organization after, I think, 6 years, 7 years. But he was just looking at processes. He's like, this is weird. And then he found somebody like me who said, yeah, I agree. You know, it was about selection. And they sent the very last candidate to an assessment center. And basically, they already decided this is the guy or girl we're going to hire. Let's spend an insane amount of money on getting a checkbox. You know, he's like, isn't that weird? And I'm like, yeah. He says, how can we do this better? I said, well, the earlier assessments are, the better and the more candidates. And he's like, yeah, but we don't have the money. And I'm like, well, hello, technology. So we did a pilot on that. And, you know, things like that. And others are just involved. What I usually see is as soon as I have, for example, a TA leaders dinner, which I organize, and we've got a great client speaker who's showing them some amazing piece of technology, a lot of people are like, oh yeah, that's a part of the process I should have looked at some point. And half of them do and half of them don't. You know, it's also about the inspiration. And that's why I love, for example, in the UK, you've got the RO100. We don't have something exactly similar here. We're trying to set some things up. But the inspiration, and I think that's actually what you're talking about, a mindset change. I think it's about a mindset which should have always been there. TA leaders going to events, getting inspired, and just realizing, you know, we might need to do something about this.
Where should TA leaders be focusing their energy in terms of practically improving their talent acquisition? What are the key things to focus on in 2024?
I'll answer this question with a very unsatisfying answer. It depends, but it does. The thing I always used to do when I was training this was look at what's most important for your specific organization. So are you having trouble attracting people, or are you having trouble selecting the right people from the immense amounts that you are attracting? So it depends on where your weaknesses are and how important that is. I think for high volume, if you're still getting in the volume, you should focus on the selection part. I think if you're having problem attracting people, you should be focusing on the attraction part. It's that simple. What I do see now is amazing developments, and we wrote about that in the book a lot, you know, TA Excellence, is the way AI is changing sourcing. I've seen demos of tools which are looking at doing automated outreach messages even. I see great recruitment advertising campaign tools which are now not just sending out like two or three different ads, but just really quickly checking over 1,000 ads and we call it next generation programmatic. But I also see amazing developments in selection.
So out of all the technology that you're seeing at the moment, because I know that you look at lots of different things and their potential, what's the most interesting area out of all of that that you think has the biggest potential moving forward?
Right now, but that might be because I'm biased, because as far as I'm concerned, overall, the biggest issue is in selection. I mean, we've been relying on the CV and on cover letters for ages, even though no scientific research has ever been able to show any correlation between future achievement and a CV, let alone a cover letter. I know actually there's a great academic research right now going on, trying to see how different recruiters think about different things in cover letters. Amazing research, and I'm really curious to see the outcome there. So when it comes to selection, I think there's the biggest possibility for improvement, also because in selection, we've got the biggest issues with labor market discrimination and bias. And I think especially in Europe. America is a little easier on immigration, although they're still cracking down on it, but America has a lot more input from the from new Americans. Their labor market isn't shrinking. Ours is. Yours in the UK, mine in the Netherlands, Germany, everywhere. We've got a shrinking labor market. So we need to make full use of everybody's full potential. And we're not doing that.
Couldn't agree with you more. I think, you know, the assessment thing is interesting as well, because I think you came on the podcast 2 or 3 years ago, maybe, talking about some of the interesting assessment technologies that were around. And I think certainly in the last, I suppose particularly in the last 18 months, we've seen big adoption of those tools and the real potential of them, haven't we?
I haven't seen, in the assessment realm, I haven't seen amazing new developments, to be honest. It's now, as you say, the adoption. The one thing I have been noticing is the term skill-based hiring, which is a very ambiguous term, but at least everybody's now thinking about skill-based hiring. And I really like the fact that people are thinking skills, not college degrees, skills, not experience. And in the Netherlands, there's now a big movement to what they call transferable skills. And with technology, actually still looking at your resume, but then taking skills out of your resume and saying, but these skills also apply to these jobs. So this person might be able to make a really good switch. I've seen a really nice piece of Belgium technology, actually, where it extracts the skills from your resume, gives you on the website as a candidate, these are the skills that we extracted from your resume. Have you forgotten any? Do you want to add any? Do we extract some that you don't have? Adjust it. They click on submit. And I know that for one of the major Belgian banks, they now, because they say we're doing skill-based hiring, the first selection, so the CV selection, is fully automated, but also fully transparent.
You were talking there about adoption. Although people like you and me get frustrated that it takes so long for technology to be adopted, it's certainly a lot quicker than it was 10 years ago. And I think we can now see from, you know, as we were just saying about assessment, we can see these things coming through and starting to change the way that people think. You mentioned automated sourcing there. You mentioned AI-driven recruitment advertising. You know, it's really clear that we're going to see a lot of these things coming through into the mainstream in the next weeks, months, years, delete is appropriate. Where does that leave recruiters? What do you think where does that leave talent acquisition? What do you think the role of talent acquisition and recruiters is going to be in 2 or 3 years' time?
So where are we going with talent acquisition in a couple of years? I think recruiters need different skills, other skills, or basically some of the skills which have been useful up to now will be immensely important. I think, for example, interpreting information, interpreting data, for example, assessment data, will be immensely important. I think being more of a talent advisor, talking to the hiring manager on what do you actually need and how can we measure that, is going to be very important. I think data analytics skills are going to be very, very important. You need to be able to question AI. And I'm not saying you need to be able to program in Python or anything. I can't. But I'm able to ask developers smart questions and see if the AI actually does what I wanted to do and what I expected to do. Those types of questions are very important. In the book, we actually write about the three things, which the three skills in general in the world of AI, and not just for recruiter, but in general, who are going to be amazingly more important and who are currently really underrated. That's the editor. You know, right now we emphasize the writer, like me, but in the future, AI will do the writing and the editor will make it better. And making it better is a very important factor. We'll have the annoying researcher, you know, the people that keep on asking questions. Yeah, but what's our foundation? What's our base? What's this? What data is it based on? How do we know that's unbiased? You know, the people we usually don't invite to meetings because they ask all the questions that we don't want to be asked because we don't know the answer to. And the third question is, whom recently in recruiting brain food referred to them as the oddballs? I call them the Picassos and the Gaudis, you know, the misunderstood creatives that go a completely different route.
That makes a huge amount of sense. So lastly, tell us where everyone in Europe can get hold of the book.
It's available on Amazon, all major retailers, if I'm not mistaken, at least all online retailers. And just look for Talent Acquisition Excellence by Kevin Wheeler and Bas van der Hatert.
Bas, thank you very much for talking to me.
Thank you so much.
My thanks to Kevin and Bas. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, or via your podcasting app of choice. Please also follow the show on Instagram. You can find us by searching for Recruiting Future. You can search all the past episodes at recruitingfuture.com. On that site, you can also subscribe to our monthly newsletter, Recruiting Future Feast, and get the inside track about everything that's coming up on the show. Thanks very much for listening. I'll be back next time, and I hope you'll join me.
This is my show.
How much do you understand the future of finance? I'm Jim Roos, a top 10 banking influencer and host of the podcast Banking Transformed, where we dive deeply into the rapidly evolving world of banking and financial technology. Join me as I interview industry experts, thought leaders, and innovators as they unravel the latest banking trends, disruptions, and game-changing technologies reshaping the world of finance. Redefine your understanding of the banking ecosystem. Subscribe now to Banking Transformed, available wherever you get your podcasts, and now available on YouTube.